The Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit is made possible in part by TechTown Detroit, Detroit's entrepreneurship hub. TechTown Detroit is a business incubator and accelerator, helping tech startups and local businesses launch and grow. TechTown supports businesses with co-working, office, meeting, and event space. They also connect entrepreneurs to resources and learning and networking events in Detroit. TechTown Detroit, Detroit's entrepreneurship hub. Hey everybody, happy Monday. Welcome to the Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit. Glad to have you with me today. And as we were preparing for the snow that is out there today, many of us, instead of watching the depleted Lions, decided to get that yard work done that needed to be done before the first snow came this year. That's exactly what I did yesterday. Took out the leaves, cut the grass, all that stuff you needed to do to get ready for the winter. And then I settled in and watched the second half of a really sort of lackluster Lions game here without Matthew Stafford. Anyway, coming up a little bit later on, Pat Batchelor is going to join us on the program to talk about the Lions, to talk about what is going on with Michigan State. Of course, it is Michigan State weekend coming up this weekend, so no matter where you are or whether the teams are good or bad, it's a big week around here for those of us that care about football. So we'll have a little fun with that coming up on the Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit. The Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit is made possible in part by Mad Dog Professional Services. Mad Dog Professional Services focuses on putting their clients on the leading edge of technology, faster than thought possible, to capture new revenue streams. That's Mad Dog Professional Services. Hey, this is the Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit. Thank you very much for being with me on this Monday. And since it is Monday, we are once again joined by my friend Pat Batchelor, morning anchor at WDET, Detroit Public Radio, and of course, longtime co-commiserator, I guess, when it comes to the Detroit Lions. The Lions lost to the Bears yesterday 20-13. Once again, had a chance to keep it interesting until the end, but could not pull out a victory. Pat, welcome. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was a very typical sort of Lions game here. Matthew Stafford was out because of broken bones in his back, apparently. And we'll talk a little bit about the way the Lions are handling this injury in just a couple of minutes. But let's talk the game first. The Bears are not good. They managed 20 points against a Lions defense, which has been given up a lot more than that most of the year. So their offense obviously had some problems. If there was ever a game the Lions could have won, it should have been this one. Matthew Stafford not being in there, though, made a huge difference.
Yeah, without Matthew Stafford, the Lions' offense just is totally out of sync, and we saw that yesterday. I mean, Jeff Driscoll came in. He's the backup quarterback. He didn't play awfully, but he didn't play well either, and you could see the timing issues. You could see that there were problems connecting with receivers, a few dropped passes that probably should have been caught. The running game is what it is without Kerryon Johnson, which is not very good. Give the defense credit. They kept the Lions in the game. They sacked Mitchell Trubisky five times. They held the Bears running backs to an average of 3.5 yards per carry. So not a bad effort on the part of the defense this time. But, you know, without Matthew Stafford, I just don't know what kind of chance the Lions have to win a game, even against a team like the Bears.
Well, and that's the whole thing. We don't know much about this injury. We don't know how long he's going to be out. The Lions have been very, very mum. In fact, we thought he might play up until yesterday morning. With an injury like this, and the doctors kept him out, it's conceivable that he might be out for a long time.
With the back injury that he's got, and whatever else might be wrong. I mean, he did take some pretty tough hits against the Raiders last week. You know, we'll see. What's important to remember is that Matthew Stafford played 136 consecutive games. That means that he had not missed a game, had not missed a start since the first game of the 2011 season. That's 8.5 seasons he played every down, every game for the Lions offense. Well, maybe not every down, but he certainly started every game. You know, with the Lions pass heavy attack, not a great running team in any of those years, the amount of passes he's thrown, the amount of hits he's taken, sacks he's taken, for him to last that long without a major injury until now is just incredible. I mean, this guy's tough as nails. There's no question about that.
Well, yeah, exactly. He is. And from what I understand, he actually wanted to play yesterday. And his teammates had his back. The team, again, is not revealing anything. This is one of my issues with the NFL, and has been for a long time, is that coaches can basically lie about injuries. The NHL is pretty bad about that, too. But at some point, you know, if you're Matthew Stafford, you'd think that maybe shutting it down for this year is the right thing to do, because this team is going nowhere.
No, the mirage of the 2-0-1 start has evaporated quickly. They've lost 5 of their last 6. There are still winnable games on the schedule. They've got some teams. Interestingly enough, as bad as the Lions look right now, there are 10 teams in the NFL with worse records, and the Lions play, I believe, 3 of those teams coming up: Washington, Denver, and I believe Tampa Bay. So they'll get another crack at the Bears on Thanksgiving, and who knows, that might just be the elixir that they need to get maybe an opportunity for 6 or 7 wins. But they're not. Unless a miracle happens, unless the defense just starts cracking down every game, unless they find a running back who can open up the passing attack, and it's just, I don't see the Lions going anywhere. It's one of those frustrating things. I mean, as I said, they have the 11th worst record in the NFL right now, which means if the season ended today, they'd have the 11th pick in the first round of the draft. So they're not good enough to get to the playoffs, not bad enough to get a top 5 pick. So, you know, at least
well,
not
no,
yet.
There are a couple of teams. There are a couple of teams in the league that are just absolutely inept in every way, shape, or form. Although the Dolphins, surprising people with a couple of wins in a row, but they look to be probably the worst team in the league. Washington right up there as well. The Jets, the Giants are awful. And Chicago, frankly, despite that win yesterday at home, is pretty bad. I mean, this is just, the Lions have some games on the schedule that they should be able to win, but it seems to me that it's a bad idea for them to do so.
Well, I mean, look, it's the NFL. These guys are paid a lot of money, and not a single one of them wants to tank. They want to play. They want to win, and they're going to do what they can to try to win. I mean, that's just what you do when you're a professional. Tanking at this point, like I said, the Bengals are 0-9. They're the worst team in the league.
I forgot about the Bengals. Yes, they are.
Everybody's forgotten about the Bengals. All of Cincinnati would like to forget about the Bengals right now. At this point, I mean, you just have to go out there and you have to try. And look, weird things happen. I mean, we saw a couple of oddities yesterday. Atlanta, a 1-7 team, took on New Orleans, a Super Bowl contender, and beat them. Cleveland got a win. They played a pretty good Buffalo team and won. So with the parity in the league, it's possible the Lions could still surprise people. I don't know how they're apt to do against Dallas. I wouldn't expect them to beat the Cowboys. But then again, it's the NFL. Things happen.
Well, one thing I think is the takeaway from this game, for me especially, is how important good quarterback play is. And you realize that Matthew Stafford has been doing quite well all season. And I know he gets a lot of heat from fans in this town. He always has, because you're the Lions quarterback. The only thing I think that is less thankful is being the Red Wings goalie. You're blamed for everything. But clearly you can see the value he brings to this team. And without him, this team's going to struggle. And you watch on the other side, Mitch Trubisky at the Bears. You know, he was brought in as this draft pick, and everybody thought, well, maybe this guy's got something. He had a great year last year, but he's awful this year. It is not easy to find consistent play at the NFL level. A lot of good college quarterbacks never make that transition.
And Matthew Stafford has made that transition. I mean, like I said, 8.5 consecutive seasons playing quarterback for the Lions. He's thrown a lot of attempts, which he's had to do because the Lions haven't been able to establish much of a running game during the entire time he's been here. He's certainly put up some impressive stats. Of course, people do, ride him as, stat Padford. A lot of those stats come toward the end of the game when the Lions are trying to rally to come back. But he also has a lot of comeback victories to his credit as well. Look, he was the number one overall pick, and I think statistically speaking, it's a fair argument that he has played the kind of football over the course of his career that you would expect a number one quarterback to play. Okay, no Super Bowls, no playoff wins, but you know, Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl either.
Nor did Dan Fouts.
Right, and I think Matthew Stafford, when his career is done, hopefully not for a while, when it's all said and done, I believe he'll be in the Hall of Fame, and I think I think history will be kind to Matthew Stafford. Look, before he came along, there was always a quarterback controversy in Detroit. Not since he's been around. You know who the number one guy is, and he has been literally a franchise quarterback with the number of games he's played. You know, we can argue about whether he is, quote, elite or not. We can argue about whether he's in that category because he hasn't or hasn't won a Super Bowl or even been to a Super Bowl. But there's no question this guy has been, I think he has delivered exactly what the Lions drafted him to do.
Well, we'll see what happens. I personally want him to shut it down. I'd like to see them get to the bottom of what's going on. And maybe it's not as serious as we think, but playing with a fracture in your back is probably not a good idea at this level, because there are people that are going to be aiming for him, just trying to knock him out of a game.
Yeah.
Because they're professional football players. That's what they do.
Right.
All right. Hey, Pat, I want to speak about another Lion, former Lion, Charles Rogers, who passed away. He was a highly touted draft pick, number one draft pick for the Detroit Lions out of Michigan State University. He was an All-American at Michigan State, and in his very first game with the Lions, had two touchdown catches. Had some problems with marijuana, he sort of washed out of the league shortly thereafter, and passed away at the age of 38, we just found out. Really tragic tale of a guy who had so much upside.
Yeah, you wanted him to do well in the NFL. It would have been a great story. Hometown player makes good. He was from Saginaw, if I remember correctly. Went to Michigan State, was fabulous there. He came in. He was part of the Matt Millen era draft picks, you really hoped things would have turned out better for him on the football field, and now to die at the age of 38. I mean, we don't quite know yet exactly what the cause of death was. I'm sure we'll find out in the coming days. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and it's tragic to see. And I know the Michigan State family has, had a couple of tragic losses just in the last few days of people, Cassius Winston's brother, and some other things going on. So it's been a tough time up there. Speaking of Michigan State, Michigan State is coming up this weekend. Obviously, this is a huge rivalry game, and State is always up for this game, but they've got to be hurting after that loss to Illinois. They had everything going for them. And then they could not close it out. They just gave up, they had a 28-point lead, I believe, at one point in that game. Ended up losing to Illinois. The Spartan faithful not showing up in droves at the stadium. There seems to be a lot of disappointment in Mr. D'Antonio's coaching style and his staff right now. Fans are disappointed, and they showed up, or didn't show up, in protest almost this week.
Well, and a few who actually did show up did protest at the end of the game, which is unfortunate. But look, I'm not sure what's happening at MSU right now. All I know is that by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, that defense just looked gassed. I mean, not having Joe Bocci back there, he was suspended. That certainly doesn't help matters. But Illinois, let's give Lovie Smith credit. The Fighting Illini are better than I think anybody thought they would be. And that Michigan game's looking a little bit better now for Michigan. They ended up winning that game at Illinois. But hey, they beat Wisconsin. Illinois did. They're 6-0, they have 6 wins. They're bowl eligible for the first time in a while. Illinois is a good team, and they showed it in East Lansing. What's really strange about all this for MSU is we knew the offense was going to struggle. I mean, with the minor tweaks that Mark D'Antonio made and his coaching staff, the offense really, not we haven't seen much change in the offense from last season. The real surprise is the defense. This was supposed to be an elite defense. This was supposed to keep the Spartans in most games that they played and give the offense an opportunity to take some chances and get some points and maybe steal a few games against good teams. But that defense, I mean, they've just been eviscerated by Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State, and now Illinois. I don't know what they can do to fix that, especially with the Michigan game coming up, and Michigan in its last couple of games looking better than they have all season. We'll see what happens in Ann Arbor.
Well, obviously Michigan needs this game badly if they want to keep going, build some momentum. They have the possibility of playing in a pretty good bowl game. I mean, obviously winning the division is and getting to the Big Ten championships, they would need a lot of help there. Penn State losing, Ohio State needs to stumble, and obviously before they get to Michigan, Michigan would have to win that one, and we've both talked about Ohio State and whether or not that's doable. But this Michigan team's gaining some confidence. Obviously, Michigan State's going to play them tough. I don't care if it's a squeaker. I don't care if they blow them out. If they win this game, it's a big deal still, is it not?
Yeah, it would definitely be a big deal, especially if it's a blowout. I mean, I don't see a blowout, but if Michigan does win big against Michigan State, I think that probably turns this rivalry back in Michigan's favor. Mark D'Antonio's coming in with an 8-4 record against Michigan, 4-1 in Ann Arbor in the time that he's been here. I mean, when he took the job at MSU, he lost his first game against Michigan. That was the game that Mike Hart made that dumb little brother comment. And from then on, Mark D'Antonio said, no, you know, this is never over. Pride comes before the fall, et cetera, et cetera. For most of Mark D'Antonio's tenure, State has been at least as good as, or in many cases better than Michigan, which is what he can hang his hat on no matter what happens the rest of this season or with his career. The State has dominated this rivalry over the last decade, whereas Michigan had dominated it for the previous three or four decades. A big win at home against MSU, that would make Jim Harbaugh 3-2 against MSU, a winning record against a rival. Should be 4-1 if you go back to that game. Michigan has an opportunity here to turn this rivalry back in its favor. I know I'm going to get blasted for this. I already have been. I think State's going to win. And I say that because nobody expects them to. And that is when Mark D'Antonio's teams are at their most dangerous, when they have that chip on their shoulder, when they feel disrespected. They've got nothing left to play for, let's be honest.
Well, I don't think they should feel disrespected. I think they're disrespected because they have been playing awful football. I mean, they gave up 27 points in the fourth quarter on Saturday.
Yep, they did. I think what you're going to see on Saturday in Ann Arbor, I think you'll see a State run a trick play that goes for a touchdown. I think you'll see a controversial play call, no call, that goes against Michigan. And it probably comes down to maybe a field goal at the end, and State ends up winning by a couple of points. Plus,
or maybe Wolverine Bob, the timekeeper, will save the Wolverines this time.
Maybe Wolverine Bob, yeah. Or in this case, Wolverine Carl. Carl Grapenthal.
Yeah, whoever. Well, one question, though, and this is not related to local football here. Sort of it is, because, you know, I said I went to Western Michigan. P.J. Fleck was the coach that took the Broncos to 13-0. He's got Minnesota at 8-0, 9-0. First time Minnesota has been 9-0 since, I think, 1914 or something like that, I think I was reading the other day. That's a season in which they outscored their opponents something like 272-12.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny. But I mean, what's going on in Minnesota? That was a big win against Penn State the other day. And yeah, Penn State had an attempt at the end. They had a chance to do something with it. But Minnesota did the work they had to do in the first half, really beat up on Penn State, and showed that they could play with them, punched them in the mouth. Penn State never really recovered.
No, Penn State is a pretty good team. We saw that Minnesota might have seen something in the second half of that Michigan game against Penn State that maybe gave them an in. But, I mean, look, Minnesota, I mean, they were just They were just focused. They were locked in. They knew they had a chance to win. They feel pretty good about themselves. They're the real deal. PJ Fleck is the real deal. I mean, he's a great coach. He's enthusiastic. He's young. And the guys buy in. You know, wherever he's gone, the players buy in. They buy in completely. They row the boat, as it were. And, you know, you see what's happened in Minnesota. At this point, it would take, I think, a bit of a collapse for them not to win the Big Ten West and go into the Big Ten Championship game, most likely against Ohio State. I think, and we'll see where PJ Fleck goes from here. He might stay in Minnesota for a while. He just signed a long contract extension. Any buyout that another school would have to pay would be very expensive if he were to end up coaching someplace else next year. But for as long as he's there, I think he's got Minnesota rowing the boat quite well. And who knows? I mean, they could find themselves in a New Year's Six Bowl game, possibly the Rose Bowl, which they haven't been to in a long time. You know, if you're a Golden Gophers fan, enjoy the ride while it lasts.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're talking about coaches here, and we didn't get to this question. What happens to Mark D'Antonio from Michigan State? There's a lot of people saying that it might be time to part ways. He has had a spectacular career at Michigan State. I mean, let's be honest. He took that program from the doldrums, got him in the Big Ten Championship game, got him into some great bowl games over the years. He has been a success at Michigan State, but things seem to be careening a little bit. Does he have a chance to keep his
job? I don't think his job is in any serious jeopardy unless they don't win another game. As I said, Illinois is a good team, better than we thought. Maryland is not a good team. Rutgers is not a good team. State should beat both of them regardless of what happens in Ann Arbor against Michigan. The Spartans should win those two games and at least finish 6-6. If they don't win another game, finish 4-8, maybe we have that conversation. But if he beats Michigan and wins one of the other two games, get to 6-6, go to a bowl game, I don't see how you fire a guy. If you're the Michigan State athletic director, how do you fire a coach who has elevated your program to heights it hasn't seen and has beaten Michigan 9 times? I think that's a tough sell. I only see a firing if they don't win another game. And I'm not even sure it would happen then. I expect D'Antonio will be back in East Lansing next year, but it's going to be a short leash.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Pat, well, we'll have to let you go. We appreciate your time and your appearance on the program every single time. It's always a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Pat Batchelor, of course, is the morning host at WDET-FM, Detroit Public Radio, my friend as well, and my regular guest on Mondays to break down all the football news out there. We have a lot of fun doing it. I hope you enjoy it as well. And I also just want to acknowledge all the veterans out there on this Veterans Day. I, of course, am the grandson and son of a veteran. My grandfather was a radio operator on a bomber in the Pacific Theater in World War II. My father, of course, was in the Army, was a captain in the Army, and served in Vietnam. And, of course, his time in the medical corps in Vietnam led him to go to graduate school when he got out of the military at the University of Michigan, get his master's in hospital administration. It's a career that he did until the day he passed. So thanks to all of you and everybody else who sacrificed and the families that have put up with this stuff, because it is a big deal. Regardless of what you feel about what conflict we may be in at any given time, it is a big deal that people step up to serve their country. And I just wanted to acknowledge that. Have a great Monday, everybody. Enjoy the shoveling today. We'll get through it. It is a little early, I realize, but hey, it's winter. It was actually quite beautiful out this morning. If you look at it that way, it's a little bit better. Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk tomorrow. The Craig Folley Show on Deadline Detroit is made possible in part by Samaritas, the state's largest private foster care and adoption agency. However, Samaritas also provides a number of other services around the state. They are one of the largest refugee resettlement agencies in Michigan. They serve homeless families, persons with disabilities, abused and trafficked women. They also provide market rate and affordable housing for seniors and HUD housing for families, and also have skilled nursing, memory care, and rehab communities in Grand Rapids, Cadillac, and Saginaw. Samaritas, we thank them for their support here at Deadline Detroit.